offering. Amen. You may be seated. This is the thing. Hold on, brother. When you get to a place, everything you look at is in Him. You know what I mean? Your praise is in Him. Your worship is in Him. Your giving is in Him. Your breath is in Him. Your words are in Him. Your character is in Him. Your motives are in Him. Everything, you take Him on and you become like Christ. Amen. So everything you do is in Him. Amen. And nothing else matters. Your life is totally changed. I could keep going and going and going. But I have my turn. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to talk to you about the power of a seed today. At Bible study on Wednesday night, we talked about the tithes and the offerings. And I had said something that I really had never noticed before. And then it put me, when he texted me on Friday to do the offering, I was like, well, I know what I'm doing it on. Because I don't think people truly understand the power of a seed. In financial ways, in farming, obviously people understand it, but the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And it says that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, so therefore choose life so that thou and thy seed may live. So seeds are more than just financial. Seeds are more than just what you put in the ground. Every word you speak is a seed. Every word you speak is a seed. There's words you can speak over your family that can either bring life or death to your family. It can either bring blessing or cursing to your family. And, you know, as I went down this rabbit hole, I started to realize it was so much more than that. And I thought back to a time in Bible school where, you know, obviously the Bible says that from one man, Adam was the first man, right? So when you look at the seed of Adam and the lineage, the genealogy of Adam, you actually find, Miss Kelly, if you have it, could you put that on the screen if you were able to get it? Awesome. Okay, so here's a short genealogy. We're going to have a quick lesson in Old Testament real quick. So Adam and his name in the English, I'm going to go over this, the Hebrew name and what it means in English. Adam is the man. Seth is appointed. Enosh, it means mortal. Kenan, sorrow. Mahalalel, the blessed God. Jared shall come down. If I butcher it, listen, okay? I'm not a professor, okay? Enoch is teaching. Methuselah, his death shall bring. Lamech, the despairing. And Noah, rest or comfort. So when you actually read this, this is God's plan. From the seed of Adam, God's plan of redemption. Man is appointed mortal sorrow. We're all appointed to die, right? But the blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest and comfort. That is the plan of redemption in the lineage of Adam. And then you read Galatians 3:16. Which says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. I need you to understand what's happening here. He saith not, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. The seed, the promise of Abraham was made to the seed of Abraham, right? So that is speaking specifically of Jesus. That from Abraham, we would have Jesus. So from the power of a seed, from Abraham's seed, we get Jesus. From Adam's seed, we get the plan of redemption. Right? So it's more, what I'm trying to get is that your seed that you plant, whether it be your words, your seed, your children, you don't know generationally what that's going to do for your family. What you're speaking now has effect on your children and your children's children. There is power in a seed. So then when we look at it financially, and this is where we were reading at Bible study the other night, Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 through 22. And if you have your Bible, definitely turn there. And I want you to mark, whether it be underline, highlight, put a little note at verse 20 and 21 specifically. Because this is powerful. This is what gave me that revelation and made me just bring me to a revelation of what the seed does. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. A sweet offering, a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for evil's sake, or for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, I don't have a doctorate in Old Testament survey, but I'm just going to assume there's importance to why in the Bible here, the first thing that's listed is while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. Okay? And then you can also take that scripture, and that one scripture proves global warming wrong. Because the Bible says, as long as the earth remains, you will get seed time and harvest, cold and heat. Okay? So there's no reason to fear any of that. But this is what's important. This is just after the earth was flooded, right? But it's the offering that got God's attention. You know, God just didn't wake up that day and say, you know what, I'm never going to do that again. No, there was an offering. Noah made a sweet offering, a pleasant offering, an offering that gets God's attention. He made an offering that God couldn't refuse but to say, you know what, because you've done this for me, Noah, I will never do what I've done again. So there's so much importance to the seed, the offering that you give. You don't know the offering today, what it's going to produce 100 years from now. You may not see it in your life. If the Lord tarries that long, the seed that you sow today, your financial seed, your verbal seed, the way that you treat your spouse, the way that you treat your children, that's all seed. The way you raise them, the way you discipline them, is going to affect the generations to come. And you don't know what your seed is going to do. You don't know if your seed is the next Billy Graham. You don't know how many souls are attached to your seed. Just like financially, the seed that you're sowing today, you don't know the souls that are attached to your seed. Everybody that brought a tea Thursday night, a dessert, whatever was made Thursday night for the family that lost their son last weekend. Everything that was sown there, it might have been just a couple dollars. It might have been just your time, but that is a seed for that night. And all those souls that prayed that night and accepted Jesus into their heart have an account to you when you go to heaven. Because you took part, you put your hand to it in one shape or another. There is power in a seed. So, with that, 2 Corinthians, verse 9, 6 through 8. Just so everyone knows, we don't pressure anyone to give. We just give you the word, and you make your decision on what you want to do from there. There is no pressure. We're not stopping people after the service, and with a paper that shows their offering count for the year. Not that I know of anyway. But I'm a giver, so nobody attacks me. All right. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So once again, when you read of a scripture about a seed, don't just think financial. This is every area of your life. If you sow bountifully in an area of your life, whether it be you sowing encouragement to your kids, you're going to get kids that love their parents and honor their parents. If you sow, you know, you're never home with your kids. You don't spend time with them. You don't read the word to them. You don't do this. Don't expect a pleasant harvest of their life, of what's going to be produced from their life. You know, I think about Pastor Joe when he was saying as a testimony a couple weeks ago that his life was turned around, right? And he gave his life to the Lord. And now you've seen family member upon family member give their lives to the Lord. simply because they see what the Lord's done in you. And you've seen your whole family, I believe, saved from that. So, you know, there is power from the seed of just being obedient to Jesus and to what God tells you to do. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you're sitting here right now and you're saying, I don't really feel like giving this, but I guess I'll throw it in the offering. Don't even do it. Don't do it. The church doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your money. God's got plenty of money, right? So there's no shortage of money. If you're sitting there and you're you know, grudgingly wanting to give a seed, don't do it. Just don't. Just don't even give it, because it's not going to produce a harvest. And then what you're going to do 6 months from now is say, well, God, I haven't seen my harvest from that seed I sowed. Well, you sowed it begrudgingly. You didn't sow it with a cheerful heart. So that's why you didn't see a harvest. You spoke death over your seed when you didn't see it a week later. You said, oh, you know, I guess that seed didn't do much for me. Well, now you just killed your seed, so congratulations. So speak life to your seed. No, I had a revelation of this on Wednesday night of how important every seed of your life is, you know. And we decided last week or a couple weeks ago, that we were going to start going to the gym, because I was putting seeds in my body that were not good for me, right? So, you know, you make decisions and you start to see a harvest on it, and you're like, oh, I'm going the wrong way here. So it applies to every area of life. As it is written, he that dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, and his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You know, one of my pastors in Bible school, I heard him preaching the other night, and you know, the Bible says that some will receive 30, 60, and 100 fold. And it's important not to rush the harvest of the seed that you've sown. You know, we've been in that position where we're running tight on things, and we're like, God, you know, we want to see. But if all we'd get there was a 30-fold, would you not want to wait just a little bit longer to see a 100-fold? Would you not want to wait just a little bit longer, sow a little bit more seed, cast your bread upon the water, right? Would you not want to do that so that you know, I don't want to be a 30-fold return harvester. I don't want to be a 60-fold return harvester. I want to be a 100-fold return harvester. I want to put my seed into good ground that gets me a really good harvest. I don't want just a decent harvest. Yeah, I planted that, and I got some back. No. I want to plant seed, and I want to see a massive harvest. Amen? All right. So, ushers, get ready to serve the people. But before you do that, we're going to give some instructions to give. Pastor Lacey, I'm going to have you do that. Just kidding. I know how much she hates doing this part. So if there is anybody that's not here, you're watching online, you'd like to give, there's a couple of different ways we have. You can text to give to 866-863-1948. In your message, put give. You can use Venmo, which is at NFCGive. You can give by cash or check. Send it into the address you see on the screen, New Freedom Church, P.O. Box 164, Church Hill, Maryland, 21623. If I talk too fast for you, you can go back and watch it again. Ushers, go ahead and we'll get ready to serve the people. Amen. I kept my rabbit hole short this morning, so But, you know, it's important that when you're reading the word, you get revelation on it. And it's important that you don't just open your Bible just to read something, right? You want to open your Bible with the purpose of getting revelation and understanding on something.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor David agrees. All right. Lord, we thank you for the seed sown today. I thank you that you minister seed to the sower and bread to the eater, and that you multiply the seed sown. Thank you, Father, that you bring a 100-fold harvest. I thank you that your people would speak life, that they would sow life, that they would reap a bountiful harvest in Jesus' name. There would be no lack. There would be abundant provision, that God would not just meet the need, but he would meet enough to meet the need, to sow a seed and have more left over. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Good word. Amen. Hallelujah. God's word is always good. Amen. Amen. It's always good. From Genesis to Revelation, chapter 22, verse 21, which is the last verse of the Bible, God's word is good. Amen. It's good. Amen. I'm going to start out in prayer. Father, I thank you. I thank you for those listening online. I thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice present today, Father God. I thank you that there's no distance in the spirit realm, Father God, and you sent your word and healed their bodies. You sent your word and it does not return void. And Father, today is the same as it was yesterday, and tomorrow will be the same as today, that your word is continually working, continually producing, continually actively moving on behalf of your people, Father God. And I thank you that today is no different. It's working in the hearts and the lives of each and every person. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Lord, I thank you that your word goes forth. The hearer hears it, believes it, and walks in it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God is a good, good God. And I'm ready to receive something. You know, when you produce. I don't produce a sermon. I ask the Lord and he helps me write a sermon. But as you do that, you're getting the word in you. So you're instantly, your faith is attaching to that and your unbelief is being cast to the side, and knowledge and understanding just start developing in you. And I'm excited before I come preach, because I've preached to myself like four times. Amen. So I'm believing you guys are going to get something very special. Hopefully you have a notebook and a pen or something to write with, because I have a lot of scriptures on the Word of God. And I'm going to hit 8 points, and that's just a drop in the bucket concerning the Word of God. Because, you know, God's Word, when it becomes real to you, it becomes your life source. God's Word becomes the only word you want to hear, whether it's good or bad or indifferent. Every day that you live, you have a desire to hear God's voice and to hear His word. And when you hear bad news of something, you instantaneously say, well, what does the word say about that? Or when a thought comes, how you handle it, you apply the word to it. And some people will say, well, I just have the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost is going to take you right to the word. You know, he's the one that'll remind you of the Word of God. So, you know, if you're thinking on something and it's not drawing you back to the Word of God, stop thinking on that. Stop letting that desire, that spirit, or whatever it is that's driving you away, or fear pushing you away. You need to rebuke that and draw back to the Word of God, because that's your source and that's the one that gives life to you. Amen? And that's what I want to talk about today, His life-giving Word. And like I said, there's going to be 8 points that I'm going to share about that's life-giving, and it comes from the Word of God. And I'm believing you will receive this today, and when you leave here, you're going to be like, man, God's word is so alive. It'll meet every single area that I'm dealing with. And even if you're dealing with something right now, before you leave here today, God's word is going to speak to that area, and you're going to be set free from that thing. Amen. You're going to leave better than when you came, because the word doesn't return void. Most ministries want to see something tangible. They want to see some big altar car. The word is working no matter what. Amen. When you pray the word, it's working. It's life-giving. When I pray for healing for someone, whether they feel the tangible presence instantly or not, doesn't matter, because the word is already working. Amen. It's already working. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The first point, His life-giving word is profitable. Everybody say profitable. Profitable. Everybody wants things that are profitable. You don't ask somebody, hey, how's your business going? Well, it's very unprofitable. It's going great. No. You want your business to be profitable. Don't look at me like that. I want this to be so simple you can't miss it. Amen. God's word is profitable. It's helpful. It's advantageous or it's beneficial. Amen. So when you read the word, expect advantage. Expect benefit to come out of reading the word. Every single time you open it, every time I come to church to preach, I'm like, it's going to be a great Sunday because God's word is present and it's profitable. Meaning it's going to be beneficial to each and every person that want to hear it. The only reason the word is not beneficial is if you choose not to believe it. That's it. The only thing that can stop God's word from being beneficial to you is you not believing it. So it's profitable. All scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for four areas. And I'm going to show you these areas because when you understand the profitability in these areas, your life will never be the same again. Never the same again. The first one is profitable for doctrine. The word doctrine is instruction and teaching. So God's word is advantageous for teaching and instruction in life. So whatever it is in life that we go through, if we want instruction in it, it's found in the word. It's profitable for that. So if you're working on something and you don't know how to figure it out, you can ask the Lord to help you, and He'll literally help you accomplish even the most remote or simplest projects because His word gives instruction. You say, well, it's not like the instructions I got when I bought my grill today, but it's going to give you the wisdom to understand and see how to accomplish life. Amen. It's your instruction book for life is what the Word of God is. So it's profitable. It's helpful for instruction in teaching. Amen. But if you do not want teaching and instruction, the Word's not going to be profitable for you. So if you do not want to get in the Word, hear the Word, come to church, get a teaching, listen to teaching, if you don't want that, it cannot be profitable. So the world doesn't want the Word, and they don't think it's profitable to them, so they don't want to hear it. But those that know the power of God and have been set free from with the name of Jesus, you want more word than anything else. And that's why people wonder, you know, through life, they're like, why do you read your Bible? Why do you do a devotion? Why do you pray? Because the word's profitable for my life. It gives me instruction every day. I can't live without it. Amen. When I try to put stuff together as a man, you don't read the instructions. And you spend more time doing the same thing and getting nowhere. And then you have parts left over. And you're like, what is going on? Yeah, I didn't read the instruction. Because I was too prideful and too arrogant to get in the word. The information or the instruction, the manual that came with that. The ones that built it gave me the instructions to put it together. God built and created this world. He has the instruction manual to get through this life and to handle everything. So there's nothing that God does not instruct us in for this life. You can't look at a subject matter or a situation and say, God's word doesn't have anything on that. No, God's word's profitable for instruction. Amen. That's what doctrine is. It is instruction and teaching. The second one, for reproof. The word reproof there is to prove something tested, to bring proof of it. So God's word brings proof that God's real, that God's alive, that God is living, that He's a creator of heaven and earth. It brings conviction and evidence of God. So that's what the word of God is profitable for, evidence that He's real. And you see the testimonies that we heard this morning of how God is real. And this whole book is filled with testimonies of what the Lord did for men and women of God from the very beginning to the end of time. So it's been proven. God's word doesn't lie. So why would you not want something that's been 100% for 6,000 years? 100%, no flaw at all. Yeah, we'll trust in things in the daily lives that have failed us time and time again. That's why I tell my wife, don't trust me for everything. Let's go, let's seek the Lord. Let's get the word of the Lord on this thing, not my opinion. Amen? Because my opinion has been known to be wrong. Depends who you ask how much. I thought it was pretty good, but when I start studying and getting in the word, my theology and my thinking and my opinion really doesn't matter. And guess what? My opinion doesn't profit anybody. It's really quiet in here. Because we always think that our opinion and our thoughts are the best, but the word is what brings a change in someone. I can't do a sermon on my opinion, because if I did my whole sermon on my opinion without the word, there would be no change. And if there's a church that doesn't minister the word of God, it's unfair to the people. Because they cannot get to the place of instruction and understanding the very heartbeat of God, because it's just opinion, it's not the word. So the word brings evidence. So there's always evidence that backs up the word. Amen. There is always a manifestation. Amen. When God's word is preached, the presence of God, the power of God brings change to somebody's life. Amen. And you're never the same. There's evidence that God's real. You can, by what God has done in my life, there's nobody that can convince me otherwise that God isn't real. Why? Because he's spoken to my heart and his word has come to pass. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm the healed of the Lord. Glory to God. And there's testimony after testimony of our family, of my daughter and her stroke and all these things. I was like, you can't tell me God's word's not real. It's factual from the very beginning to the end. And I have evidence of it. Amen. Your testimony is evidence, proof that God is real. Amen. If that weren't the case, you wouldn't be here today. That's what religion does. Religion, we're trying to get something. You're trying to make something look good enough to be like God. But when you have relationship, you know God. It's not just a thought. It's not just a passing thought. You have proof and evidence that my God is real, that I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. Amen. So that's reproof. For correction, nobody likes this part, but this is what the word is. Correction is profitable, believe it or not. You parents all say amen. You children say, I don't know, right? No, the word is profitable, amen, for correction. He gives us how to live and how to bring correction even in our own personal life. The word correction there is to straighten up, to restore, to improve, or to reform. That's what correction is. It's to straighten things back up again. Sometimes you can take exactly what you have, and the Lord showed me a board. And you ever have a warped board? Everybody know what I'm talking about? It has a nice bow in it. Just go to the local hardware places and every single board is warped. All right. But anyway, beside the point, you can literally turn that board the opposite way and leave it sit and it'll go back the other way. All right. Well, there's sometimes the Lord can do that where he can take us and we may be warped in a thought pattern or a way of living, and he redirects that. Or sometimes he prunes that thing and gets rid of it in such a way to bring total correction and total healing. So we must look at our lives and say, Lord, what do we need to do to correct? There's some things we just need to remove out of our lives. Amen. To be more like God. There's other things that we can correct. Amen. And keep going with, and he just makes it blessed. Does that make sense? He keeps using that area and he just puts his blessing on it and it becomes stronger and straighter. Amen. And that's our lives. And that's what the word does. All of us have had warped minds, warped thoughts, warped lives. We've realized we need a redeemer. Who can do it? Jesus. The word has done it. Amen. So that's a profitable part of the word, is to bring correction. So if there's areas that are out of line, out of square, not being used properly, the word is what works in that area. So when you see something in your own personal life or you see something in your family, pray the word into that area and the Lord will help correct that area. Amen. Amen. If there's an area that I'm missing something in, that I need correction in, thought pattern, I have to get in the word, and the word is what works to get me a clear, positive thinking the way God sees it. You know, personally, I've thought there's times where I'm not good enough. Well, that's a thought of the enemy. That's the accuser of the brethren. And I see it for what it is. No, God says, I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. So I take that word and it bends me back to bring correction and in alignment with what the way God sees me and the way instead of the way I see myself. Amen. So the word is, it comes in, and if you accept that word, it is profitable in that area. But if you just accept what the world says, that's unprofitable. It doesn't strengthen or lift you up or get you to the place where you need to be. That's what makes the word so powerful. Amen. Amen. The last one, number four in that scripture, is profitable for instruction in righteousness. That's your walk. That's your guidance to a godly life, is instruction in right living. So the word righteousness is right standing before God, the way God views you, and right living before man. Amen. So when you understand what righteousness is, I'm a child of God. The word of God has given me instruction that when I die to self and give my heart to the Lord, I become a child of God. I become righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. So the word shares with us our righteousness. It shares who is righteous, and it shares who isn't righteous, and it tells us how to become righteous, and that we have eternity living in righteousness. Amen? So it gives a plan for life, and it gives a plan for our future. And it's really, really good. Amen. So it's a guide, and it guides us in every good work. It's beneficial. Amen. The word does not make life hard. It actually makes life easier. Amen. Write that down. The word does not make life hard. It makes it easier. God's word is always beneficial. It is always profitable. Always. Always profitable. Amen. Amen. Point two. It's life. His life-giving word is light-bearing. Psalms 119:105. Psalms 119, verse 105. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It brings light to the dark areas. Notice something there. Your word, God's word, is a lamp to my feet. That's close. That's right under you, right? Or a light to my path. So God's word not only deals with your daily step in everyday life, it also deals with your future. Amen? So it's not just for your step each day, it's for your path going forward. And for you contractors or understand lights and things, the Lord spoke this to me, because he speaks to me very easily, very simple ways. Your step is a floodlight. It gives what you can see right in front of you. But it's also a beam of light, a spotlight for your future. That's what the Word of God does. It gives you a view close as you walk each day, but it also gives you a path to see forward. There's always hope in the Word of God. Always hope in the Word of God. I hope you're getting this, because it is literally life-changing. You don't have to live a day in your life struggling, blind, hard to see, in darkness. You don't have to live in darkness. When the light has come, darkness has to flee. Amen. You can see where you're going. You can see your purpose in life. Many people struggle. What's my purpose? God's word, he'll give you your purpose. He gave you your life. He gave you your gifts. And he's going to give you purpose to walk those gifts out. Why would God would be a liar if he gave you life with no purpose? What kind of God would that be? Not a God I'd serve. John 8:12. Remember, it's light-bearing. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So Jesus is the light of the world. Last week I talked about the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. God's Word is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. So what does it say here in John 8:12? I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Your life does not have to be dark one more day. Because light lives in you. It's believing that his light is working in you. It's keeping the light turned on. Keeping it not under a bushel, not under a bed, not under a table, but on a lampstand. Amen. It's keeping it up high The higher you make a light, the farther it'll go. Did you know that? Yeah, you did know that. That's very simple. Amen. It's very simple. But the higher it is, the farther you can see it. And the more power that goes to that light, the brighter it is. So the more word you put in, the brighter you get. The brighter you get. Less shadow. You don't have shadows in your life. You don't have iffy places in your life. They're lit up. You see them for what they are. Amen. And you live your life full of light. And when darkness comes around, you see it for what it is. And you start speaking the word into it. You'll realize something here, church, that when you get the light of Jesus on the inside of you, it not only blesses you inwardly, it also blesses you outwardly. You can see things. You can see the darkness around. You can see people's motives. You have discernment. I'm going to get into that a little bit later. But light expels darkness. You're able to see everything for what it truly is. And it's a powerful thing. It's not that you're judging people. You're just seeing the spirit that's motivating them. And it allows you to discern and say, you know what? I don't need to be a part of that. But I need to pray into that. Amen. Because when you have the light, you won't judge people, but you'll want to interject the word. Because what he did in you, you want it to happen in them. So the more he does in you, the more he can do through you. The more light that's in you, the more light you bear. Amen. The more power in you, the more power you release. Glory to God. Because when you receive prayer and the power of God hits you and you fall out on the ground, you couldn't handle all that power. But when you get up, God's got something for you to do. You never get touched by God and stop. You move forward because there's something in you, that light, that power that's flowing out of you because it just totally wrecked you. Amen. When God changes your life, you're never the same again. You cannot receive the light of Jesus, the glory of God, and stay the same. You're not receiving the glory of God if you stay the same. Let me be honest with you. God can't touch somebody and you stay the same. It's impossible. It is impossible. That's the life-giving power of the Word. It's light-bearing. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When the truth of the light of the glorious gospel comes in you, you're free. You're not bound any longer. And it changes your perspective. It changes your thoughts. It changes your view. It changes everything about you. And the more word I get, the more I realize, the less I physically need to do myself, because I'm allowing by faith the Lord to move through. Not that you become lazy or anything, but you're more focused. You're not distracted by all these other details. You're doing what the Lord's telling you to do, and you're doing it well because the word working in you and through you. Amen. That's what the word does. It's light bearing. It reveals things. We need this light to see beyond our senses. The light of the gospel, of the glory of God, is not so God puts glasses on you so you can see physically better. No, the light illuminates your heart so spiritually you can see better. See the difference? See the difference? See, you can buy the greatest lumen spotlight or floodlight out there, and it'll help you see in the natural farther. But when the glory of God comes on you, you see in the spirit. You see in the spirit, discernment, understanding of things. Amen. You see things. You see the spiritual realm, and you walk in the spiritual realm, and that's why you start walking and are led by the spirit instead of your flesh, because the spiritual things are so much more exciting, so much more rewarding, because it's not only rewarding here, it's rewarding in heaven as well. Because when you're doing spiritual things, amen, you're making a difference here, but you're also making a difference in heaven. Because if you're just walking in the natural, you're walking for yourself. So all you're doing is just what Jesus said. When you sow and you do just about what you want to do, that's the best that you're going to see, is what you physically see in that moment. But when you do spiritual things and you step over into the spiritual realm, you're doing business with God that's making an effect here on the earth, and it's making an effect in heaven as well. Because when you do spiritual things and you share your light and they receive Jesus, you not only want a believer here on earth, but you, their eternal destiny has been set. See the difference between the spiritual light versus physical light. And the world's just basing off of the physical. So, you know, they could only see, I think you can only see about 16 miles before the curvature of the earth. All right? So that's all you can see. But in the spirit, man, you can see the whole world. You can see the nations. You start looking at things differently, not based off of your natural eyes. Because your natural eyes, once the light goes, you can't see anything. And I'll share this just because it's funny and it's about me. And I'm not making fun of anybody else. I'm making fun of myself. The other day, in the dark, I was getting ready to water my dog. So I picked up the dog dish in our utility room in the dark. And it was underneath the utility sink just a little bit. And I bent down and I struck my nose right on the utility sink because I didn't even see it coming. It was like, bam! Like I didn't even get to the dish. And I thought to myself, should have turned the light on. Should have turned the light on. It makes a huge difference when it's dark. You can't, anybody drive last night? When it's dark and it's misty out, you know the road, but you're not even sure where you're at. And you know it. The spiritual realm, God will show you things that you've never seen before, but you're totally comfortable in that place. Because it's not you driving, it's the Lord driving. And He protects you and He reveals things to you. Oh, the light of Jesus. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. God is still revealing things. He's revealing wisdom, revelation, and understanding. So the light just gets brighter and brighter. You grow and you develop and you become stronger and stronger in the things of God. It's a wonderful thing. So that's what the Word does. It gives light. Not only to dark areas, but it empowers and brightens the areas that are already enlightened. See, I believe in healing, but there's more that I want to know about healing. Amen. There's more light to be known, and it's found in the Word. It's found in the Word. Point three, Word brings wisdom. God's Word brings wisdom. Psalms 119, verses 98 and 99. Psalms 119, 98 and 99. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. Who wants to be wiser than their enemies? Hey, well, guess what? The commandments do that. What are they? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Love thy neighbor as yourself. How do you do that? The Word. The Word helps you love people because the Word is Jesus. And when you get Jesus on the inside, you not only get light, it's not only profitable, but it also gives you wisdom to help see things and understand things. And gives you the upper hand in situations. You start having favor in places because God's on your side. So the more Word you put in you, the more life of God you have, the more God kind of faith you walk in, and God starts moving on your behalf. And it's not because you're special, it's because the special one lives in you. And you're allowing Him to operate and function through you. Glory to God. It's a very humbling thing to be wise in the things of God. Very humble. And I take it very seriously. Not that I'm super wise, but I'm saying as I grow in God, you take that. When you get revelation of something in God, it humbles you. It humbles you very much. And it's sacred to you. It truly is. When you understand God's presence, when you understand the anointing, that's why we have ushers to protect the anointing. Why? Because it's very special. Because it changes people's lives. It's a very powerful thing. It's sacred. And we must keep the anointing. That's why preaching and teaching, we go with what God says. And it may make some people mad. But it's what is going to bring the change to the people. So it's not who's ministering, it's who's ministering through the person that matters. That's what matters, and that's what we want to protect. So you, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Your testimonies, what did I say earlier? Reproof is proof or evidence that God's word is true. And that's profitable. Notice here, for your testimonies are my meditation. These are the testimonies of God. This is his evidence that he's real. And when we meditate on that, it gives us what is needed to live out life. Amen. Amen. For your testimony are my meditation. When you meditate and mutter the word and get it in you, it makes you become wise in every affair of life. Every single area that you may be struggling with, I guarantee you get in the word on that area and get on a scripture and meditate on that. When you are done meditating on that and done reading it, you're going to be wiser in that area, and he'll give you the light to make the right decision. If you're praying about a decision, maybe it's a job, maybe it's a relationship, get in the word. God will give you the peace and the comfort and the guidance to give you wisdom to make the right decision. I'd rather take 15 minutes in the word and make the right decision than make the wrong decision and have to spend hours praying and trying to fix the dumb decision I made. So it's good to go to the word first, meditate on it, get it on the inside, and he'll show you things. Amen. It works not only inwardly, personally, it works at public wisdom too. You know, you go to meetings or something like this, and it's a group setting, God will give you the wisdom to speak into that meeting. Amen. It's not just about your own personal life. He'll give you wisdom in the affairs of all life. Every area of your life. You don't have to struggle, church. Amen. You don't have to struggle. When I counsel, when I preach at my house, amen, personal conviction and thoughts, take it to the word. Take it. It has to funnel through the word before I want to release it. Amen. The word really is, should be the filter for your life. Everything you speak, everything you say, everything you do should funnel through the word. So everything you're doing in life, you should have scripture to back up what you're doing. And if you do that, there's some people that'll change a whole lot of their life and their time frame and time spent doing things, because it's not profitable at all. It's not helping anything. It's just feeding your flesh. Let's not do it right now. All right. But it's good. You're going to see why it's good. Point four, the word is life-giving. It gives instruction and direction. I kind of touched on this. Obey and follow what you know. Don't look at someone else and try to be like them. Be imitators of Christ. Amen. When you're an imitator of Christ, you're living his word. Amen. To know how Christ lived, his word. And if you're not following the word in your life, you're not living like Christ. So if you're living areas in your life that aren't backed up with the word, you got to pray into that. Work on that. Ask the Lord, help me in this area. Show me. Amen. And that's why there's teachers. Amen. That's why there's pastors, to help you with these things. Amen. You're not alone. None of us are perfect, but we know the one that is. Amen. We know the one that is. We know how to get it. Glory to God. Amen. There's a plan and a purpose just for you. Just for you. Matthew 25:21. He that is faithful in little will be ruler over much. Amen. So he that is faithful in the small things of God, he'll make you ruler over greater things in God. Amen. By the word. The word gives instruction and direction. Do the little things first. I have an example. Our refrigerator decided to die this past week. But guess what? They make new refrigerators. Amen. Amen. And we had the finances to buy it. Praise God. But I tell you, when we put that new one in, I realized that my house was not square. Because where I measured at the top of the fridge is not the same as the bottom. And it was snug. Very snug. But it fit. Praise God. But what I'm getting at is, the little things, the foundational things in your life, must be set on the rock and square, because everything else is going to be crooked. Everything else is going to be a little off. Amen. And I just gave you an example of my house. My house is great. Amen. There's nothing wrong with my house, but you better measure the top and the bottom when you do something. That's all I'm saying. I hung a door. Man, it's that much space when it's open. I tried to shut it halfway. It hit the floor. I'm like, are you serious? Things happen. What do? You ask the Lord for help. Amen. And you ask the Lord for people to help you. Amen. So praise God for those that are contractors or those that understand areas that you do not understand. And I'm telling you, eat your humble pie and ask for help. It'll save you tremendously. You don't have to be everything and all things to everybody. Be who God called you to be and be good at it. Amen. Some of you are mercy motivated. Amen. You have mercy on people when others will just cast them to the side. Amen. That's a positive trait. Some of you are givers. Amen. You give no matter what. You'll give when you don't even have. But I'm telling you, as we do that, it blesses the body. It strengthens the body. Because there's areas that I can't do that many of you are very, very good at. Amen. Intercessory prayer. There's areas all over the place where the body, when it's fit together, becomes very, very strong. Very, very strong. I want to get off of my house because God bless the guy that built my house. Amen. It's doing what it was intended to do. Amen. Micah 6:8. We're talking about instruction and direction. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So what does the Lord require of us? Three things there. Do justly. Be just with people. Do the right thing. Amen. What'll do that? The Word will help you do that. The Word's the right way to go every time. If you're wondering what to do the Word and you'll do the right thing. Amen. Do the Word. And if somebody says, I need prayer for this, pray the Word. You can't mess up. When you pray God's Word, you don't mess up. When you pray your opinion, you pray your doubt with what you're praying. But when you pray the Word, that's God's Word and it's going to work. By His stripes you're healed. I rebuke that foul sickness in Jesus' name. Jesus rebuked sickness. He spoke to it. He didn't coddle it. He didn't say, well, hopefully in 6 months you feel better. No, He dealt with the thing because He knew His authority and He knew from heaven why He was called to be there. He didn't run from leprosy. We shouldn't run from COVID. We should go right to it and declare it's got to go. It's not welcome here any longer. Amen. God paid for that. The blood was shed. The stripes were bore. We're the healed of the Lord in Jesus' name. And you get that on the inside of you and you don't accept the lie. You don't accept the crap that they want to feed you. Sorry. Excuse my English. Amen. You get what I'm saying. Don't keep eating stuff that's not good for you. Eat this. Eat the Word. Feed on the Word. Amen. It's life to your bones, man. It'll strengthen you. And I can really get going here. I'm preaching better than you're shouting, but you got to understand something. You know whether somebody's feeding on the Word and what they're feeding on. Somebody come to me and ask me some questions about things, and I'm thinking, what have you been listening to? No judgment there, but I take them right to the Word because I'm like, obviously, you're not reading what I'm reading because you're not speaking what the Word says. So when it's in you, that's what comes out. Amen. With the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when you get the Word in you, you speak the Word. It's like, boom, the Word comes out. Yeah. You don't have to like, oh, let me meditate on this and pray for something to come up. You don't have to do that. It's so in you, it becomes who you are. Yeah. Amen. When you're an imitator of Christ, you start walking and acting like Christ. Yeah. Amen. You love your enemies. When somebody does you wrong, God bless those people. There may be times you need to take a moment and tell your flesh, hey, easy. And then you just proceed with the Word. Amen. We're all working these things out. God works all things out for good to those who believe. So if your belief system is a little off, you fix it with the Word, and then it starts working for you. Amen. It starts working for you. So the Lord is requiring of you to do justly, to love mercy. So being just to people, being merciful to people, and walk humbly with your God. Amen. So that's what the Word does. It brings instruction in those areas so we can live out what His Word says. There's no better place to live than to live the Word. No better place to live than the Word. Point five. The Word is life-giving, and it feeds the church. The Word feeds the church. Jeremiah 3:15, "And I will give you shepherds," or pastors, "according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." Amen. So under shepherds, which I am one of them, as a pastor, I should be feeding you the Word. If I'm not feeding you the Word, I'm not a good pastor. The Word has to be a part of a church. You have to preach and you have to minister the Word. If the Word is not being ministered, you're not pastoring the people. You're not giving them the right opportunity to feed on the right things. And that's why some, you know, churches and some ministries and things, people are kind of in a ditch. Why? Because they're not in the Word in that area. You know, there's a ditch on this side and there's a ditch on this side. We got to be in the middle. We got to be with the Word. And the Word keeps you in the middle. It keeps you centered in life. It keeps you on the straight and narrow. Amen? Amen. If there's areas in your life that are struggling or that are hard, we need to find out what the Word says about them and get that area back on track. Amen? Even being a past dairy farmer, even the good old cow knows the difference between good and bad. Amen. It'll eat the hay and it'll spit out the sticks. Whether you know it or not, the whiskers on a cow, what they're there for is they feel the grass to feel if it's tender or not. They literally brush the grass with their nose. This may look funny online, but they literally brush the grass with their nose and they can tell whether it's tender. And when it's tender, they grab it. And they'll go through a field, a pasture, and they'll eat the tender grass and they'll leave the old tough stuff. Why? Because it pushes too hard on their nose and they're like, I'm not going to eat that when I can eat this. And there's a grass out there, noxious grass, they call Johnson grass. Well, everybody sprays it and it spreads like wildfire, but cows love it. They'll go through a field of clover and they'll eat the Johnson grass out of it. And you think, what in the world's going on? They feel it. They know the difference. Amen. And when they eat hay, if there's a stick in there, they'll feel that stiffness of that stick and they'll bypass it. And you'll see a whole manger full of sticks and all the hay's eaten out of it. And not a stick anywhere else. It's left right there because they know the difference. So you're better than a cow. Amen. You're better than a cow. If you get anything today, say, I'm better than a cow. No, don't say that. Don't say that. You're far better than a cow. So if a cow can know what it's eating and know what not to eat, praise God, you know what to eat and what not to eat. Don't be deceived. Amen. Don't be deceived by people. Amen. God. Whew. The Word. John 21, verse 15 through 17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend or shepherd or watch over or govern my sheep. So this is what a pastor does. He doesn't only feed the lambs, the young ones. He also shepherds and governs and watches over the sheep. Verse 17, he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, there's a lot of teachings in there about love and what Jesus was meaning, and Peter wasn't really getting it real well, which tends to be Peter's, you know, way of doing things. But anyway, we're supposed to feed the sheep. We're supposed to feed the lambs. Amen. That's what the shepherd does. How does he do it? With the Word of God. That's how you feed. That's how the kingdom of God is brought forth in every area, is through the Word. The preaching and the teaching of the Word. The meditating on the Word. The Word, the Word, the Word. If you say, you're saying Word too much, you can't say it too much. You can't quote the Word too much. You can't quote Scriptures too much. Amen. That's what brings the change. So it brings instruction and direction. Point five, it feeds the church. Psalms 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. So you not only taste it and you see it's good, once you taste it and you know it's good, that's all you want to eat. And you start feeding on that and blessing and blessing. And every time you eat, there's blessing, there's revelation, there's understanding, there's growth. And you get stronger and stronger in the Lord, and you don't want anything else. And when people say, well, let's go do this, you're like, no, I'd rather feed on the Word. You know, I'd rather listen to a podcast. I'd rather do something for the Lord. If I'm going to go out, I'd rather go soul winning. You just get into a place where you want to just feed on the Word and live by the Word. Feed on the Word and live by the Word. And it strengthens you in such a way that you start seeing things and things become clear to you, and you just don't do certain things. Because there's a conviction on the inside. Oh, that's not what the Word says. God's not going to bless that. I don't need to be a part of that. And then you're led by the Spirit, and you become a stronger believer spiritually, where you can discern right and wrong. And it may not be obvious to your eyes. And then other Christians that aren't spiritually discerning based off of the Word, they don't understand why you're making the decision you're making. But there's a conviction on the inside. The Spirit on the inside of you is saying, Don't be a part of that, or don't buy that, or don't this and this. You know, whatever it may be, but it's a discerning, it's a knowing on the inside that God's Spirit is saying, I'm going to protect you in this. I got something better. This is what I want you to do. And you heed that voice, and you walk with the Lord, and that voice becomes very, very, you're conscious of it all the time. All the time. Amen. That's the life of a believer. Hallelujah. John 10:4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Amen. So when God speaks to you, you know it's God because he speaks the Word. Amen. If you know the Word, that's God speaking to you. But God can speak to your inner witness by the Spirit of God, but the Word's going to back it up too. Amen. You hear an audible voice, the Word's going to be attached to it. God doesn't speak contrary to his Word. And the Spirit doesn't lead contrary to his Word. So when you know the Word, you know it's God talking to you. Amen. When God said, leave the farm, when I was driving that combine, I wasn't even focused. I knew it was God. Because it was about the craziest thing I ever heard. So I was like, yeah, that's got to be God. And when I started realizing how the enemy works, and I started realizing how God worked, I knew God was speaking to me. God was speaking to me. Thank God I listened to it. There's times where we don't listen to what God's saying, and then he's got to speak to us again. And again. And again sometimes. All right, point six. The Word is life-giving. The Word burns sin out and breaks lies. Jeremiah 5:14. I know this part may not be exciting to you, but when you get sin burned out of your life, and you get the truth on a matter, it's very, very freeing. It's very, very joyful, because he replaces that, he removes the sin and fills you with joy in that area. He fills you with peace in that area. So every time that the Lord reveals a lie to me or something that I'm missing, I praise him, because I'm like, thank God I got it now instead of later, because I started seeing the truth of the matter. Jeremiah 5:14. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. You read that and you think, wow, does a word have that much power? Yeah. The word can change a landscape when you minister and preach the word with authority. When you know, the enemy knows whether you have it or not, and people know whether you have it or not. Whether you're just blowing hot air or you're speaking the word of God and you got it on the inside. But when you do that, it's like a fire in your mouth. Amen. When I speak to sickness, I know it does not have the authority to stay there. Amen. I know it does. Well, hopefully your sniffles go away. No, you tell that thing. You think you're there. You're not there anymore. You got to go over here. You're no longer welcome here anymore. You know, if a robber came in your house, you wouldn't say, well, God bless you. You probably had some needs here. Just take my bed. Well, maybe the Lord will lead you that way. But normally it'd be like, you know, you can get out of my house right now. Like right now. You should be moving already. oh, there's consequences. That's how serious I see sickness and sin. It's like, that is not God, no longer welcome here. Exit the building. Pronto. You got to see it like that. You have to be able to see sin like that. And when you do, you deal with it as soon as you see it. You do not give it opportunity to take ground or to build itself in that realm. So when you have a thought, you deal with that thought instantly. Do not give it place to grow and develop. And you start meditating on that thought. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I'm not good. Look what that person's doing. I'm not producing that. I must have missed it. And you just start mulling. No, that's not my thought. I hold that captive to what? The Word of God. Isn't that what it says? Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is the obedience of Christ, His Word. If it's not in there, I don't want it. And you get to a place, and I know this may sound brash, but when people get talking to you and they sound like they want something, but it's not the Word, you really don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear it, and you're gracious, and you, yes, thank you, but you don't receive it because it doesn't have Word and faith mixed in with it. You understand what I'm saying? And it allows you to, it'll even influence the friends you have, you young people. It'll influence the friends you have. You old people, I'm not looking at anybody. It'll influence the friends you have. Amen. God bless you online. It'll influence who you hang around, what you talk about in every detail of your life. You just want the Word. I just want more of Jesus. When the church is open, I want to be part of church. I want to be there. Amen. I want to be with family. I want to be with people that are like-minded. Amen. I'd rather go to a church event and be with church family more than at times than I want to be with my natural family. Why? Because there's faith there. There's encouragement. And I love my family. They're people. They're people. That made a lot of sense. They're good people. You know, we love each other. I got a great family. But there's nothing like the house of God. Amen. There's unity there. There's oneness there. Amen. Jeremiah 23:29, I'll read this out of the Amplified. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces? The Amplified says, is not my word like a fire that consumes all that cannot endure the test? So the Word is an all-consuming fire that tests everything. So when there's a thought pattern or there's a situation, you put the Word on there, it'll test it. And it'll either burn it up or remove it when you apply the Word to it. So the Word has so much power, you can apply it to a situation, and it's going to take care of that situation. Okay, so if it's sickness, and you apply the Word to that sickness, you rebuke it in the name of Jesus, that Word goes forth. It's like a fire. That sickness has to go. It can't stay there. The Word is like a fire. It'll burn that thing out. It'll literally burn it out. And when you believe that way and you receive that, you can live a life where you don't buy any lie of the enemy. Any sickness or disease does not have any right to my body. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. And I speak that and I declare it, and I don't accept anything less than what the Word says. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. You get it ingrained in you. It's like a fire, and that fire ends up being shut up in your bones. So when someone talks to you, you declare the Word over them. Hey, I'm saved. You can be saved too. God did this in me. He can do it in you. Amen. He set me free. He delivered me. And you share that because it's shut up in you. You don't have anything else you want to share with them but to bring the freedom that's found in Jesus Christ. Period. Period. Is not my word like a fire that consumes all that cannot endure the test? Amen. And like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces. Get this. This scripture does two things. First, it tests it, then it breaks it. Notice that. It's like a fire that tests it, and then it's like a hammer that breaks it. You want to break something, what do? You heat it up. You have a tight bolt or you have something tight, you heat that baby up, and something's going to happen. Amen. Either the nut's going to come off, or you'll make it so stinking hot it'll turn red and melt. That's what the Word does. Hey, I've been there. I've melted some things. It's kind of fun. Amen. Amen. I'm not a pyro. I'm just saying, things can be, you can have something that's been on there for 100 years, rusted, tore up, but you put the heat to it, you'll melt that thing. That's what the word can do. Believe it, church. Believe it. That's what the word can do. So it'll test it by the word, and then you can break it by the word. Amen? So you bring the word, and then you speak the word, and then you believe God, and he'll handle the rest. Amen. Everything in my life and my family must be put to test by the word. If someone says, well, I don't believe the word in that area, well, it doesn't give the authority to heat that thing up and break it. Amen. So somebody may want counseling. They'll come to me. They want counseling. I have to counsel with the word because that's the one with the fire and the hammer. That's the one that's going to deliver the thing. All right. But if they don't want it, I can't counsel you because I can't break it off of you by myself. You understand? What somebody wants to get married, marriage counseling, counsel with the word. Why? Because that's the counsel we need to get the right marriage that you want. Yeah. Amen. It'll keep you from having other counseling sessions down the road. Yeah. It'll keep you from divorce. But if I just give you my opinion, that doesn't do anything. Yeah. That's just my, well, pastor said this. That doesn't hold up in anything. That doesn't do anything. But if pastor says the word, it's the word that's doing the work. Amen. So you always counsel. You always get the word and give the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to be in a relationship with someone and they aren't willing to come to church and get under the word, no thank you. Man, is it quiet in here. Hey, all you guys are all married. Praise God. Now, here's the thing. If someone's not willing to sit under the word, they're not willing to take enough time for what you desire. And what the Lord has for you. They have to be willing to sit under the word. Because the word is the fire and the hammer that's going to break them. Amen. It's going to do a work on the inside of them. But if they're not willing, guess what? They're not going to be willing later to work on things. Because if their heart isn't right, nothing else is going to be right. If they're not willing to sacrifice in the beginning. Because every single person puts their best at the very beginning. And then you start seeing things later on, right? But if you can get them under the word, they can get saved, they can get the Spirit of God, then get on fire for God, it heals a whole bunch of hurt later on. A whole bunch of hurt because the Lord deals with them, convicts them, and changes them where you don't have to go through a whole bunch of counseling. Get the counselor. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me keep moving here. Jesus. Test all things. Amen. Test all things. Even Paul said it when he wrote to Timothy and Titus. Test things. You know, put them under the word. Glory to God. Whether it's leadership, whether it's anything, put the word upon it and you'll see the difference. You'll see the difference. Point 7. The word has power to save. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There's power in the word by itself. It's not whether it's Nelson publisher and all the other publishers. It doesn't matter what publisher of the Bible it is. It's the word of God that makes the difference. It doesn't matter if it's leather or pleather or hardcover or Kindle. It doesn't matter. It's the word that works. It's not the outer shell. There's a lot of people that have this on their on a dresser or on a bookshelf out their house. But it does not have the power till it gets opened and received. Yeah. Amen. It's got plenty of power. And that whole household could be saved, changed, delivered, and set free from every type of evil curse of the enemy if the Bible was just open and revealed to them. Amen. That's how much power it has. Yeah. But when it's like this and it's not thought of or used, it doesn't do anything. It's just another book. And to the world, this is just another book. But to the believer, it's everything. It's literally everything because it has power in it. So you can't be ashamed of the word. You can't be. Don't be ashamed of the word. It has the power. I don't have to come and give you my opinion for you to believe this. I just give you this, and it's you and God. And the weight's off of me. Amen. And you don't have to save everybody. You just give them the word and let the Lord save them. Right. Amen. Jesus came to set them free. You don't enable people to try to get them set free. Give them the word. That's enough enablement to get them free. Trust me. Trust me, it'll take the weight off of you from carrying everybody's burden. Amen? And I know Scripture says, bear each other's burden. You know how I bear each other's burdens? All the thoughts I have and people sharing counsel, this, that, and the other, be here, be there, all that. I give it to God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And I start confessing the word. Give me wisdom, Lord. Show me. Teach me. Give me the scripture for them. Whatever, whatever. But what it does is I put it on God instead of carrying it myself. And the more you trust in the word, the more you'll put the word to work for you. Amen. But if you just put it on the shelf and you try to live your life saying, well, I know I got a Bible. I got five Bibles. Guess what? You can have five Bibles, but if you have revelation of one scripture, you're doing better with that one scripture than you are with five Bibles on the shelf that you never open. Amen. Amen. You can read your Bible all the way through a year. That's wonderful. But if you don't get the revelation of what it says, you just read another book for a year. You got to get it on the inside of you, and that word will start working, and it'll change, and it has power to change everything. Every single one of you sitting here are here today because the word did something in your life. Guess what? He's not done with you yet. He's not even close to done with you. Some of you may be like, I'm 70, 80. You know, things are a little slower. Guess what? You're full of wisdom to share with the young people around you. Amen. You've been through life. You've been through things. You've messed up. Amen. Just share with people how you messed up and what the Lord did. And it'll help people tremendously. Point eight. Amen. Point eight. The word deals with the innermost parts. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is like is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's all. The word does all that. It touches your mind. It divides the difference between your mind and your spirit. So most people are like, I can't tell the difference between if this is my spirit or this is just my mind speaking this. Well, guess what? What will help you out? The Bible will help you discern the difference of whether it's the spirit speaking to you or whether it's just a good thought. Because good thoughts won't get the job done. Good thoughts are good thoughts, but it's just a thought. The word is what works. So when you understand that it's the Spirit of God speaking to you, you step out on that. That puts God on the scene to operate, amen, and bring about the desired end that God has for you. But if you step based off of opinion or off a thought, then the weight's on you. And when you live your life carrying it just in your own power, it gets very heavy very quickly. All right? Your marriage, family, everything gets heavy quickly because you don't discern based off of the word. So the word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you know a two-edged sword cuts both ways? And a sword has a point on the end. So wherever you put the word, it's doing a work wherever you put it, no matter which way you swing it. Amen. I'm not going to throw my Bible at you. Amen. But when you release the word, anything that comes in contact with it gets cut because it's sharp on both sides. No matter if it's your thoughts, no matter if it's your heart, no matter if it's your flesh, even your motives. If you're wondering somebody's motive, start praying the word over them, and the Holy Ghost will reveal people's motives. Amen. Why do you think the Bible says, do not put a novice in authority? Give a little time for the word to operate, and you'll see the fruit of that person. Yeah. You'll know how they operate. Just give it a little time. Amen. Give it a little time. Don't jump into something thinking just because it looks good. Man, put the word on that. Give a little time and the word will give you what's needed. And you'll be like, huh, shouldn't have done that. Don't need to do that. Or yeah, that's where I need to be. Word does all that. It does all that. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. People will hold things in so tight, you'll never know what they're thinking or feeling. They never speak. That's why the word's so powerful. It'll go right in there to the very innermost parts of someone's being and transform their life. When God shows up, everything changes. And it shows up because his word. When Jesus showed up on the earth, humanity was changed forever. Why? Because the word showed up. The word showed up. Darkness flee. All principalities and powers to nothing. Because Jesus showed. When Jesus went into the earth, he went down to hell. Guess what he did? He whipped every single thing down, every principality and power to nothing because the word showed up. So if Jesus, when he did that, when we apply the word to our situations, guess what? Victory, freedom, peace, joy. Amen. All those things are the fruit of the word. So when you apply that word, it's living and powerful and changes every situation. Today's your day. Today's your day. We're going to receive communion. If you're listening online and you want to receive communion with us, you'll have to go prepare something to receive communion. But I'm going to ask the ushers to come up and they're going to stand here with the elements. I'm going to have the congregation stand and get ready to receive. And I want you to go ahead and to get the elements. We're not going to receive them yet. But I want you to attach your faith to these elements, because these elements are the word. It's the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. And when you receive both of them, you receive the full redemptive work of Christ in your life. So when you receive the blood represents his shed blood for the remission of sin. It paid the price for all sin. Past, present, and future is paid by the blood of Jesus. Right? And the wafer represents his body. His body that was beaten, that was whipped, the crown of thorns on his, everything that his body endured represents the healing power of God that was provided through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. So the full, complete work of Christ is found in communion. If you want to know God's redemptive plan, study communion. Study the blood. The blood's real. If people can't talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, they're throwing out the key thing that paid the price. The blood paid the price. The blood was shed on Calvary for you and me. Amen. If you're listening online, you do not know the Lord, it's in the blood. When you apply Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to your life, and you believe it for you, you become born again and saved. Amen. Amen. You guys can pass out the elements, or stand up here, excuse me. Stand up here, have the people come. Listening online, give you another minute or so to find some elements to bless, sanctify, and receive with us together. We love those online. Thank you for joining us. Hallelujah. And as you receive these elements, these two elements have fulfillment in them. So if you're struggling or dealing with any matter, doesn't matter if it's a thought, if it's an emotion, if it's a feeling, if it's a sin, you need to deal with it before we receive. Put it under the blood. Apply the blood of Jesus to that area. So all humanity, everything that humanity deals with is contained in these elements, can be healed and fixed by these elements. Everything you deal with. So when we receive this communion today, I'm believing that you're going to walk out so free, that today is your day, that freedom's going to come, healing's going to come, deliverance is going to come in Jesus' name. Because this is the word. This is the word. Jesus literally said, "This is my flesh and this is my blood. Partake of me. Receive my life." So when we receive it, we're going to receive the blood of Jesus and his body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. The blood of Jesus that washes away all sin. The blood of Jesus that washes away all sin. When they put the blood on the doorposts, death could not come in. That's what you're doing right now. When we partake of the blood of Jesus, we are partaking of his protective power, where death can not come around us. No foul spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Give our ushers a little bit of time to get straight. Oh, there's nothing like communion. It's not just elements that you're taking. It's faith being released. In remembrance of me, Jesus says. Do this in remembrance of me. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. What has the Lord done for you? He healed my body. He touched my mind. He changed my life forever. He's changed my family. He's changed my marriage. All for the better. Whatever it is, if there's anything that you're dealing with, now you can put it on the altar. Put it on Jesus. His word will work. His word doesn't return void. Psalms 107 verse 20 says, He sent His word and healed their body. He sent His word. You got pain in your body, it's getting ready to go. Hallelujah. Let's not go any longer. If you got pain in your body, don't live with it. This wafer, the body of Christ, that was broken for you. His body was broken so you wouldn't have to be broken. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your broken body that was broken for us. 2,000 years ago, you paid the ultimate price so we could walk and live in healing. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Go ahead and break it and partake. Receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's healing in my body. Sickness is leaving my body right now. In Jesus' name. Pain is leaving my body in Jesus' name. It can't stay there. The word is working. The word is working. The word is working. He sent His word and healed their body. Hallelujah. You're healed. You are the healed of the Lord, church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This cup represents His blood that was shed for the remission of sin. Sin cannot stay in a believer's life. It has to go. It has to go. And it goes because it was already paid for. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So the wages of sin is death. You don't have to die. When you receive Jesus, you will not die spiritually. You will have eternal life forever. Because the wage has been paid by the blood. The wage, the payment for sin is death. But the blood of Jesus Christ paid for all sin. And that's what we're going to receive. Forgiveness and redemption. Heavenly Father, thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God, you loved us so much, you sent Jesus to come and to die on the cross to pay the price for our sin. Father, we receive your Son and His shed blood right now in Jesus' name. Let us receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Those listening online, God bless you. We love you. Have a great week. Hallelujah. I want everyone to just lift their hands. I know you may have a cup in there, but that's fine. Just lift your hands. All that God has is found in His word. All that you have need of is found in His word. In Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sweet presence of Jesus. The word that was made flesh and dwelt among us is here right now. He's living on the inside of each and every believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word is living on the inside of you, church. Father, I thank you. You touch each and every person right now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I speak a blessing over their life, over their family, over their finances. Each and every day, they're victorious because of the word. They're an overcomer because of the word. They're joyful because of the word. They walk in perfect peace because of the word. Hallelujah. They walk in love because of the word. The word is working on the inside of each and every person. And I thank you for it now. Thank you, Lord, for what the word is doing. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies of the word working on the hearts and minds of each and every member and believer at New Freedom Church. We are blessed. We are sanctified and set apart for your glory, Lord. As we leave here today, we leave empowered, encouraged, and edified by the word of God. Thank you, Jesus, for living big on the inside of each and every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 If you need prayer, you can come forward.